No, you're going to be surprised by this. My very first dance performance that I was dancing in. That's not true. Something you need to know about Whitewater is we probably have at least 50 dancers in attendance from UW, and not UW as well. And so they put on this thing called Unmodified, right? Help me out. I don't want to say anything wrong. And so I go to this incredible dance concert, and I've never been to anything outside of like a Broadway musical in New York that there's singing involved in the dancing, and you understand kind of what's going on because of the lyrics of the song, right? Dance is not like that. Dance is very much your own interpretation of what's going on. And so I sat there with my wife, and there's dancing started, and it was beautiful. It was incredible. The amount of muscle control and control over their bodies that they have to be able to stand on their toes for 6 hours straight is incredible. Their flexibility is insanely cool. I'm close to being that flexible, but not just yet. So I really admire what's going on with how they have gotten their bodies to do such cool things. However, I'm looking at these dance pieces, and I'm hearing music, and there's no lyrics to the music. There was a Radiohead song that I remembered, and I was really excited about that. But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, I got this one. This one is... And I'm going through this scenario in my head, and I'm giving this narrative, and then all of a sudden some dance move hits, and I'm like, nope. That ruins that theory. That's not going to help. Well, maybe it's this. No, it's not that either. But it was really incredible and really beautiful, and I was blessed by the performance and blessed to be there, and it was just really cool. But I just could not put my finger on what was going on. My name is Adam Koop. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church, and it's awesome to be here with you today. Rianne, is Lexi here too? In nursery, Lexi, you did awesome. Rianne, you did awesome. Julia, you did awesome. And anybody else that I've missed sitting here, you did awesome. All right? Yeah. No, I don't. I'm good with this one. We'll just go with this one. So last week we talked about what? Hand raising even, yes. The blind man, yes, that Jesus healed. Excellent. So we talked about a blind man that Jesus healed last week. You guys remember the story? Is it that forgettable? Okay. So we talked about this blind man being healed by Jesus, and the Pharisees aren't happy about it, right? You remember the Jewish hierarchy Pharisees that have all the rules down and know things. They're not happy about it because it happened on the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is a day that you're not supposed to do anything, which sounds awesome. Did anybody take a Sabbath this week? You did? That's fantastic, man. I slept all day. That's beautiful. So they're upset because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees just seem like an upsettable people anyway, right? Yeah. So we're going to pick up this story from there. If you do not have a Bible, I would like to give you a Bible. There are Bibles out on the table. I believe we only have 4 left, and we're needing to order some more, which that tells me that you guys are taking the Bibles and selling them to Hastings. So I'm just kidding. I'm hoping that you guys are finding great things in these Bibles that we're giving you, and that you are actually reading these and not starving yourself to death by not doing so. Deal? So if you need a Bible, go grab one. There's 4 left. If you have a phone, an iPhone, a smartphone, that's the one. There's apps out there. YouVersion is an awesome Bible, and Bible Gateway is another one. Utilize those, and you can get almost any kind of translation of Bible imaginable. But we're going to pick up our story at the very end of John 9, because this is going to make sense, because this next half is Jesus' interaction with these Pharisees. So in 9, verse 39 of John, so if you go to the New Testament, which is the back of the Bible, you're going to see a book called Matthew, you're going to see a book called Mark, Luke, and then John. So that's how you're going to get there. Sound good? I think the New Testament's about halfway through, a little over halfway through. So here we go. This is what he says. And I don't have this one on the screen, so don't freak out, screen people. Yeah. So Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now, as he had talked about before in the previous chapter, in chapter 8, Jesus said what? I did not come to judge the world. I did not come to judge the world. And now all of a sudden he's saying, I've come to judge the world. Kind of confusing, right? We didn't touch on it last week because I felt we covered it the week before. But Jesus' judgment, like we had said in chapter 8, shows us how far from the truth that we are. Does that make sense? Jesus comes and presents truth, and the judgment is how far away we are from that truth. And it's our goal to get closer to the truth, right? Two steps closer. Yeah? Okay. So he says, I have come into this world, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. Kind of confusing, right? Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked. And he was talking to the blind, the man born blind, who has now received his sight in those sentences. So the Pharisees are standing around being awesome and eavesdropping on their conversation. Can I back up? My name is Adam Koop. The whole scene, too far, thank you. This whole scene is taking place after the man who was born blind and received his sight on the Sabbath is kicked out of his church by these Pharisees who have kicked him out because Jesus healed him. And he's following Jesus. Actually, at this point, he's not even following Jesus. He's following Jesus as a result of this. And so after he gets kicked out, Jesus finds this man that he healed, whom he restored his sight. And this is the conversation that they're having after Jesus reveals himself to this man born blind. And the Pharisees are overhearing this, and they said, "What? Are we blind too?" If you've ever asked the wrong question, Tanya and Lauren, we were hanging out with them last night, and there were some wrong questions and answers being given in their marriage, which shattered my world because I thought they had the perfect marriage. That was a joke. But there's things you just don't say, and so the Pharisee said, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin." If you didn't know any of these things, if you didn't know truth, if you didn't know scripture, if you didn't know these things, you wouldn't be guilty. But the problem with you is you do know these things. You know these things about me. You know these things that have been prophesied about me. And you choose to be blind to them. You choose to ignore them. So much so that here I am, Jesus, the Savior of the world that's been prophesied about for all of these years, healing this man of his blindness, and because of that, you kick him out of the church. Kind of backwards, isn't it? Yeah. So this is where we pick up. They ask this question, "We blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And then he goes on to say to these Pharisees, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, he tries again, very, very, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says again. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And this is where he gets a little prophetic. He starts looking down the road at what's going to happen on the cross as he lays his life down. He says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Again, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about this Easter story. No one takes it from me. No one takes his life, but he lays it down. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were divided. Weird. The Pharisees were divided again. Many of them said, he is a demon. He is demon possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So it's kind of confusing where Jesus is talking about these people being blind, and then all of a sudden he just changes gears and goes into talking about sheep, right? Can I just tell you what that means briefly? Just get it out of the way. Jesus uses the shepherd analogy, the shepherd thing, to interpret what has just taken place with the man that was formerly blind that he had healed. Judaism is described as the sheep pen, but not all the sheep in the pen belong to Jesus' flock, meaning the Pharisees. They are separated out as they recognize his voice and follow him out from the sheep pen, meaning the blind man, meaning the woman at the well, meaning the woman caught in adultery. Jesus is gathering his flock, these sheep, us, the people that listen and follow him, from the pen of Judaism. Make sense? Dismissed. So I started thinking about this analogy, and it's weird to use other analogies to describe an analogy. Works for you? Good. So Jesus is talking about these sheep and talking about this pen, this Judaism that has happened, and this thing that had been set up by God, which isn't bad. I mean, this was a God structure that was polluted by man's overzealous reaction to follow all the rules to the T. And so the system that God set up, all these laws, all these rules, is being polluted by these people that only see rules. They don't see people. And so Jesus is just confronting this system that's been around for a long time, and confronting the political powers and religious powers by going toe-to-toe with these people and telling them, you know what, you're what's wrong with this picture. You're what's wrong. You are the sheep pen. And here I am, the shepherd, and I'm calling out to these sheep, and these sheep will listen to me, and they will hear my voice. But you're not hearing it. You're not hearing my voice. You're not following what I'm asking you to do. You're not being who you should be, living how you should live. And I started thinking about this analogy of the sheep. And then I took my dog for a 2-mile walk yesterday. And I know what you're thinking, Adam. You look like you go on 2-mile walks every day. That's right. I'm really fit. No, this was dumb. I decided to walk to a Redbox to find a movie for my children and take my dog with me. And after about 3 blocks in, I said, this is stupid. I've got 2 cars and a motorcycle in the garage, and why am I walking? So I take off. I'm walking. And my dog, we adopted her from the Black Dog Rescue in Cheyenne. Anybody adopt from the Cheyenne Black Dog Rescue? If you have not, you should. They're awesome people. But my dog is a pit bull, not because I loved pit bulls. Actually, the dog before we had was a Great Dane, and we loved that dog because it was about my height and my weight. But I'm walking my dog, and my dog is the most gentle dog with anybody that ever comes in. Like, I've never seen her be mean. I've never seen her react to anybody. But one thing she does do is protect if there's other animals out on the road or out, you know, fenced in. And so my dog and I, we're just walking, and we walk by this fence. And this mean, nasty little rat of a dog comes, and you see all of its teeth. I mean, this thing's just, it's not smiling. It's terrifying. And it runs up to the fence, and it just starts nipping through the fence. I don't know how it even got its mouth through it. But it's nipping through the fence, and my dog reacts in the moment. And my dog starts barking, which is uncharacteristic of her. She does not bark, really, at all. And she starts trying to defend me. And I have the choke collar on her, and I choke her back, and I give her a command, and she's not listening to a word I'm saying. Because there's this dog. There's this dog here and distracting her. This immediate situation that's taking place is overriding anything that I could say, anything that I could do. And I thought, this would be a great teaching analogy tomorrow. But just like the situation with the dog, just like the situation of the immediate needing to be taken care of and overriding any kind of hearing, me, I will call myself the shepherd of the dog shepherd, the dog whisperer. I wasn't whispering, I was yelling, shut up, knock it off. But everything I was trying to do as the shepherd, calling out to my dog knows my voice, my dog knows my whistle, my dog knows my commands. But the immediate that was taking place, it was a chihuahua? No, if that was the case, I would have unleashed my dog and let her eat it. But everything that was taking place was so immediate, and it just overrode everything, that my dog was unable to hear me. That my dog was unable to listen to any kind of command at that point. And if you're a trainer, maybe you're saying, well, then you have no control over your dog. And you have no business owning a dog. And that's probably true, Craig. I love you. I picked on Tanya last week, so it's your turn. It's staff pick. Yeah. But my dog was unable to hear me, and then I started thinking, okay, well, my sheep know my voice, and those that hear me follow me. And I take him out of this pen, I take him out of this religiousness, this thing that was never intended to be in how I intended my people to live. And I take them out to graze in the pasture. I take them out of this place, and they come and they go through me, which is a big deal with Jesus. There's no other way but through Jesus to get to God. Does that make sense? The whole reason for his sacrifice, the whole reason for this Easter story that we're going to be telling here in the next few weeks, the whole reason for all of that was that Jesus was making us right with God. And we have to go through him to be right with God. But the problem is we have to hear him first. And I think that these religious figures and these Pharisees, they were much like me sitting at the dance last night. And I think they had all this commentary in their head about how this is going to play out and what this looks like. And they were able to tell that story in their head. This is what it is. And Jesus hits the scene and they're like, crap, nope, that's not it. But instead of changing their tactic, instead of even trying to understand Jesus or hear Jesus, they just had this story in their mind and they stuck to it. And they never got past that. But you see people like this blind man who was healed, who restored his sight, meet Jesus for the first time, literally face to face, able to see him, able to understand who it was that healed him, able to believe in him because he was called by him and he heard his voice. And so I get up and I teach this teaching, and I know that you and I are wrestling with the immediate right now. Much like my dog who was unable to hear me, the dog shepherd. That's going to be the title of this teaching, the dog shepherd. But we come here, all of us, with something immediate, whether it be family struggle, whether it be sin struggle, whether it be a marital spat that you had in the car on the way over here. Tanya and Lauren, are you guys doing okay? You good? Okay. They fixed it from last night. Whether it be your kids who were super annoying. Whether it be your kid that you don't talk to because he didn't live up to your standards. But we come with this immediate. Whether you're hungover right now because you drink too much and you don't know how to help yourself. Whether you're itching right now because you need another hit of whatever it is your poison of choice is. We come with this immediate. And that immediate deafens us to Jesus. And so what is it in this immediate that you guys bring this morning? You guys know the answer to that. I don't. But we're going to pray about the immediate. Can we do that? And you're going to pray about the immediate. You're going to pray that this immediate issue that's arisen in your life that blocks you from hearing God, that blocks you from hearing the shepherd calling you in, calling you to himself, calling you through himself. We're going to pray that your deaf ears will be opened. Can we do that? Yeah. Let's take some time. Let's do that. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be weird. We're going to do it for about 25 minutes. Just kidding. Well, let's pray. I want you guys to be praying. God, remove this immediate so that I can hear your voice. God, how uncomfortable silence is. especially when we're asking you to do something so miraculous, something so beautiful, something so genuine as speaking to us, God, that we can hear you. And God, that's what I pray right now for us, that we can hear you. Father, our sheep pen is not Judaism necessarily today, this morning. Our sheep pen looks like a lot of selfish ambition. Our sheep pen looks like addiction. Our sheep pen looks similar to the Pharisees in believing we know how life works and we've got it figured out, and there's no way other than the way that's in our head as to how life works. God, our sheep pen can be broken family. But God, undeafen our ears. God, soften our spirits and our hearts. Slow us down. God, that we can hear you. Because your call is not just for certain people. The call to follow you is not just for a certain elite group of people, but it's for all. God, within these verses we read that your sheep pen is not just that of Judaism, God, but that your sheep pen involves everybody outside of Judaism, which means the Gentiles, which means people like us today. God, quiet the immediate so that we can hear your voice. God, as your son Jesus spoke, he said, "The sheep go through me." He's not just a doorkeeper. He's not just a protector of the gate. He is the gate. God, and we have to go through him, your son, through this way that you set up. God, calm the immediate of our situation so that we can hear your voice. God, just as this man who was blind and had been healed by Jesus did not know who Jesus was until Jesus found him long after he was kicked out of the temple. And Jesus ask him if he wants to know who he is. And he responds, yes. God, dull the immediate so we can hear your voice, so we can hear that question asked loud and clear in our lives. Do you want to know who I am? Father, take the immediateness of our situation and put it behind us so that we can hear your voice, your call. God, and just as this man born blind who received his sight said yes to that question and has walked through the gate of Jesus and has walked through what Jesus is talking about, to know you, to know what's going on, to remove these preconceived notions of who you are and what life with you looks like. God, take the immediate, put it behind us so we can hear your voice. As you call, as we come, and as we walk through. Jesus. God, may we take the immediate and put it behind us so that we can hear your voice, so that when we hear Jesus' words say that a good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep, God, that we'd hear that we would understand what that means, that we know what that means. That these sheep aren't some far-off concept, that it's not just some analogy, that it's not some story, God, but it's us that Jesus is talking about. God, take the immediate nature of our situation and put it behind us so we can hear your voice. You are the good shepherd. God, what you say is truth. What you desire for me and for the rest of these people and everyone in Laramie and everyone in the world is that we would hear your voice, we would recognize who you are, and the life that you have for us that is good and beautiful. And in turn, the life that we live with others would be the same way. God, take the immediate of our situation. Put it behind us that we might hear your voice. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.